Right, it's that time again on a Friday when AM Live presents another update from the Coalface with Martin Creamer, publishing editor of Engineering News and Mining Weekly. Mr. Creamer, good morning.
Morning, Florence.
Now, a new constitutional court ruling gives a special new status to South Africa's near mine communities. How will these communities be benefiting now?
Well, what the court decided, and it was the constitutional court, the highest court in the land, and it overruled a lot of other court rulings, is that people come and prospect on the land of communities, but they do not necessarily consult properly with those communities. And so what the court did is it actually withdrew the rights from the prospecting body, which was Denora Resources, and said to the government, you go and issue those rights again, because the way you issued them now did not have a consultation process that was proper with the near mine community. So, of course, the Bengwanyama community are very happy about all this, because they went through the High Court, they went through the South African Court of Appeal, and then finally to the Constitutional Court, and all their costs are being paid, by the way. So, it was quite a resounding victory, which has set the cat among the pigeons. I mean, we had an Australian-listed company that had to suspend its shares. That was Unkwe, because they linked to Genora, which is their BEE partner. And so a lot of consternation in the industry, and not the least at the Department of Mineral Resources, because, you know, the head of the department is saying now, how do we define consultation? And this needs to be written into our legislation, which the Minister of Mineral Resources, Susan Shibangu, she's rewriting that. She's overhauling it completely, and by the middle of next year we should have new legislation. But we see now with special rights going to the community, and this could have consequences, because we know that there's been a lot of acrimony with the community. Only this time last year we saw on the western limb, that this issue is on the eastern limb of the bushveld, but on the western limb it was Sizwe, you know, the Bakabung split in two, and people took some of their shares that were in this platinum company, and they turned them into cash. They collateralized them, and that upset the rest of the community. And there's a huge court case going on. So although South Africans are used to private ownership, they're not used to collective ownership. And I think a lot of studies got to be done on this as to how do you own things collectively. Obviously, the Bafokeng are the model, and they've got 300,000 people as part of them. But even they are experiencing problems now, where certain parts of communities that should be regarded as Bafokeng in terms of the Bafokeng are now saying, no, we want these farms. 50 farms are being claimed by the community. So it could have a bad impact on South Africa's wealth creation and also job distribution.
Now, of course, despite the strong call for beneficiation, South Africa's raw material exports soared to the new heights in the first half of this year. Tell us about this.
Yeah, you know, we've had these calls for beneficiation. In fact, the whole of Africa is saying we've got to add value to our metals and minerals. We don't want to just export them in raw form, and we don't want to export them in, you know, semi-form that hasn't been properly beneficiated. And despite this, we see now in the first 6 months of this year, the raw material exports and intermediate exports, virtually primary exports, that grew. Never mind, decline. It actually grew in value and volume. And so it's indicating that South Africa is not able to do this. It's far more difficult than people imagine, and perhaps there also isn't a will to do it, because we're used to just mining and sending these goods out. And I mean, a lot of countries like Australia say to you, look, just dig the hole, get the metals and minerals out, put it on a train, get it to a port and export it. That's the business. But South Africa is saying, no, we've got an unemployment situation, we've got to do it differently, we've got to add value here. And a lot of people see hope in regionalizing, that they feel could set this beneficiation off and get our value chain going. And of course, the figures that were presented, they were presented by the State-Owned Industrial Development Corporation as part of a 53-page study. And in that, you know, they're advocating, the South African, Southern Africa, SADC, and COMESA, which is East Africa, joining together into a sort of a free trade area. And that'll involve 568 million people. It virtually represents 57% of Africa's population, and like a GDP, gross domestic product, of about $625 billion a year. So they feel that if we link up in that way, there'll be a far better chance to get our value chain going and to add value at home to these very important metals and minerals that we export now in raw and unbeneficiated form.
Now, no less than 380 entities are keen to plough money into creating renewable energy capacity in Africa. Are we likely to see that money sort of pouring in soon enough?
Well, you know, this is a new technology, yeah. So it's going to take its time. The very fact that the Department of Mineral and Energy called for requests for information. They called RFIs, and they got a fantastic response. 384, you know, different entities coming in and saying, we can supply you with renewable energy, and that's wind energy and solar energy and all the other forms of renewable energy. It's an indication that this is a new area, because they're working out the feed-in tariffs, what they call the refit tariffs, because all these people who generate this energy have got to get a revenue stream. They've got to get money. And how much are they going to get? And that is what the feed-in tariff, the refit tariff, is all about. But at this refit tariff, at this level, you can see there's an appetite from, you know, more than 300 participants that are keen to get involved. And of the 300, a third were really offering wind power. But that capacity that was offered totaled about 20,000 megawatts and 4,000 megawatts for cogeneration. About 70% of what is offered was wind. So it was overwhelmingly in favor of wind energy, although we know we've got a lot of sun here. And another third of the applicants were for the various forms of solar, you know, concentrated solar or photovoltaic solar. And so we see that overwhelmingly wind is the offering. But only about 30 of these, the department says, the Department of Energy, really look firm at this stage that could be converted into actual power coming into the grid, and that Eskom will have their power purchase agreement in place. So a good stride forward, but also possibly helping to achieve our target in South Africa of 7,200 megawatts of electricity generation from renewable sources by 2030. And that will represent about 16% of the total. Some say with this sort of response, we should do better than that by 2030, and we should be getting more from renewable energy than the 16% we were targeting.
All right, well, that's Martin Creamer, Publishing Editor of Engineering News and Mining Weekly. Martin will be taking his usual seasonal break, and he'll be back at the coalface with renewed vigor on January the 14th next year. Well, Mr. Creamer, have a well-rested and safe holiday, and of course, we do look forward to hearing from you in the following year.
Thanks to you too, Florence.